open your Bibles, please, in the book of the Psalms. And we're turning to the Psalm 37. And I want us to read some verses from this passage of God's Word, Psalm 37. And just a few verses here in this passage of God's Word. And then keep your Bibles open, because we come as a congregation to gather around the Word of God. And we want to hear the Lord speak to us. And we want the Lord to challenge us and bless us through His precious and His holy Word. Psalm 37, verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily or truly thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And God will add His blessing to the reading of His precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather around Thy precious word this morning. And Lord, I pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt speak to our hearts. Lord, perhaps there are those that are troubled in Thy house today. And maybe there are those that are downcast because of situations, because of life's experiences. Father, I pray that Thou wilt, even as we open the Word today, that, Lord, that Thou wilt minister to the needs of all our hearts. We pray that there might be a word in season for every soul that's gathered here. And we realize that it's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven. Yes, many are the thorns in the way, but we thank Thee that we don't go this journey alone. We bless Thee, the Savior's with us, and He gives us joy every day. Help us, Lord, to do as Thy word commands us to do today. And, O God, may we leave Thy house refreshed in our own souls and ready for the battle for Christ and for truth against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I want you to keep your Bibles open this morning in the book of the Psalms and the Psalm number 37. Now, many of the Psalms are written from very personal experience point of view in the life of David himself. And yet the interesting thing about this particular Psalm, it in many ways is different from many of the other Psalms, because it is not linked in anything that I can see to a particular period in the life of David. There is no historical point. Many of the Psalms are linked to some particular historical point or some particular part in his life. For an example, remember we read in Psalm 51. It was linked with that time in David's life when he had sinned against the Lord and sinned with Bathsheba, and he acknowledged his sin, confessed his sin when Nathan the prophet had challenged him in the name of the Lord. But there does not seem to be a particular historical point in the life of David that this psalm is particularly related to. Also, it is true that David doesn't mention any particular persecution that he was facing. And remember, David did face persecution. He experienced the persecution of Saul. And there were times in his life when it just seemed as if that his life was near about gone. And how Saul tried to wipe out his life. And so therefore there were times when whenever he would face that. There was the time in his life as a young shepherd boy, he wrestled with a lion and the bear. And so some of the Psalms are linked directly to particular experiences in David's life. I must honestly say there were no preacher on the Psalms like the Reverend John Wiley. The late Reverend John Wiley, he was a master of the Psalms. And what a blessing whenever God's servant would open the Psalms and would simply bring to you some tremendous, powerful gems of great truth as he would expound the Psalms itself. One thing we do know about the Psalm is this, that David wrote this Psalm when he was an old man. We do know that. He acknowledges in verse number 25, he says, I have been young and now I'm old. And so therefore we know that he was an older man. Well, I suppose you shouldn't necessarily say an old man. Well, he says it, so therefore the Holy Ghost records it. Why shouldn't I say it? But people don't like to be called old men. Or especially, well, old women. It's just older people rather than old. But the psalmist acknowledges this. He says, listen, I have been young, but now I'm old. And so therefore, it was in the older part of his life. I think also the style of the psalm is also significant, because what the psalmist wants us to do is to stop and to think. And he describes man's relationship to God in a wicked world. I think that's a tremendous exposition. Our relationship as God's children in this wicked world to our sovereign God. Now, whenever you come to the psalm here, the psalm number 37, it's like, as I've said before, like Psalm 73, it deals with tough problems. There are times whenever in our lives we are faced with tough problems. Preachers are asked tough questions. And of course, people expect that somehow, preacher, you should have the answer for this situation in life. Why is this happening? And so there's a tough question here. And the tough problem was this. How can you account for the fact that ungodly men are often those who prosper in life, whilst godly men and women seem to go through hard experiences and great hardship? How does it happen? I heard a preacher one time put it another way. Why do good things happen to bad men, and why do bad things happen to good men? It is thought by some of the commentators that David actually had the book of Job before him when he was pondering this particular question. And of course, you and I know that in the book of Job, it does deal with that problem, because Job was a righteous man. But when you look at Job's life, friend, I tell you, he went through great trials. He came through very dark experiences, whether it was in what he owned, his possessions, or whether it was in his family, or whether it was in his own body. But it is true that Job, the servant of the Lord, was a righteous man. In actual fact, God drew the fact to Satan that he was a man who eschewed evil. Hast thou considered my servant Job? And so the question does come, why do God's people so often go through dark experiences? Why do God's people face great trials and troubles, whether it be in sickness, whether it be in circumstances, whether it be in family, whether it be in financial situation? Why does it seem that so often the ungodly man seems to prosper and he spreads himself like a green bay tree? And why is it that God's people seem to be so often down in the depths of problems and difficulties? Well, if the psalmist did have the book of Job out in front of him, at least when he was studying the book of Job, he would find out this, that God worked it all right in the end. that God did bring his servant through, and God blessed him abundantly. But you know, when you do think of that, it shows us God's plan, how God governs things. And yes, it is true that it will come out all right in the end. But friend, it seems sometimes that whenever God's people are going through these valley experiences, that it seems to be so long in coming. You know, we want God to rush. We want God to do it now, Lord, now. Bring me through it now. It seems to be that even sometimes, that for some of God's children, it doesn't work out in this world. It seems to be that it seems to all come together when they're gone. And so this morning, believers, I know that there are grave questions and grave problems in many hearts. It causes doubts in the hearts of God's people. And it has caused doubts in the hearts of many of the saints of God down the years. It seems there's a grave imbalance. The prosperity of the wicked and the poverty of the poor. You know, in the culture of David's day, it was believed that whenever God blessed you materially, that somehow that was a great blessing. That you were being rewarded for something that you had done. That God was blessing and God was pouring out his blessing materially upon you because it was an evidence that your life and your labor was pleasing to the Lord. Of course, the other side of that is this. If you were in poverty and the blessing of God was not poured out upon you in possessions, then if it was, one was a sign of God's blessing, what was the other? The other was a sign of God's punishment. That somehow it was God's displeasure. And if God was pleased with what was being done, then our lives would be rewarded with material bounty, with material benefits. In other words, it would be a sign of God's approval. But you know, it seemed to be upside down. For if that was so, it was the wicked that was prospering. It was the wicked man that seemed to be living in the lap of luxury. It was him that was having it good in life. It was him that was having the prosperity. It seemed to be that the wicked man was the one that was promoted. And it was the good man that was being punished or was being persecuted. And in David's day, friend, that was a problem, to be honest. Because I believe in this passage of God's word, David, under the inspiration of God, was actually directly addressing a problem when he opened the psalm like this. Verse number 1. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And some were fretting. And what were they fretting about? What they saw, what they were witnessing, made them fret inside. In actual fact, I go further. Not only were some of them fretting, David was fretting. Just keep your hand in Psalm 37. Go to Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, and those two psalms, you should read them together, friend. It's a psalm of Asaph. And it says there in verse number 2, it says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And so we find here the psalm of Asaph. He's admitting that he himself fell into a snare whenever he thought these things. But then, thank God, the Lord brought him into the sanctuary. And he said, "When I went into the sanctuary of the Lord," then God showed him there was a different story to be told. And I wonder, in the house of God this morning, as you see what's happening to God's people, and you see the situation of the worldling who seems to prosper, do you ever question what's God doing? Why is God allowing this to happen? Are you disturbed? For it seems to be the wrong way around. And those in Psalm 37 unto whom David wrote, I believe that they were questioning God's way. And they were questioning God's work in the world in the day they lived. Now you look around the world this morning. And friend, to be honest, nothing's changed, is it? The wicked seem to prosper. They seem to get on. They seem to be promoted. And many of God's people are feeling downhearted and depressed and discouraged and disheartened by what they see. But I want us to listen to what God says. And the first thing I want us to notice is the psalmist's command. Look at verse number 1. This is what the Holy Ghost says. Through the lips of the psalmist and the pen of the psalmist, he said this, fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Now, what does that mean? The word to fret means to have heartburn. To burn within. Yes, it's more than worry. To fume. To become vexed with what you see. And friend, to be honest, when you see some of the ungodly prospering in this world today, is that not true? Is that not how you feel? You feel angry within. You burn within. Now the Holy Ghost says, here's a command. It is a command. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, friend, I don't believe the psalmist is suggesting that you and I shouldn't be concerned what's happening in the world. I don't believe that the psalmist is suggesting that we would be indifferent by the evil that's in this world and the moral corruption that is everywhere around us. He's not saying that we're not to be angry at wrongdoing and evildoers. But what he is saying is this. We're not to burn within over that. Over something that you and I have not control over. And I believe what God is saying here is this. That there were those who were so angry within, friend, they became bitter. Bitter. They became bitter within. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was angry, but he was never bitter. The Word of God tells us that we're to be angry, but we're to sin not, because in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you remember he took the whip and he drove them from his house and he said, you've made my house a den of thieves, and the Lord was angry at the hardness of the people's heart. But the Bible tells us that in him was no sin. But David was pointing to something that was happening within those around him. Because they were bitter that God was allowing this to happen. And friend, what they were doing was this. They were carrying within themselves a discontented spirit that had turned them into being dissatisfied what God was allowing to happen and what God was doing in them and for them in this world. And yet the world, the ungodly, or prosper. Child of God, let me say this to you. Never charge God with injustice. Never charge God with incompetence. Never charge God with not caring what is happening in your life. God knows what he's doing. And God is handling the affairs of mankind today, even in this province and in this world. And God doesn't need my foolish impertinence to put my finger into the face of God and say, God, it should be some other way. Who am I to lift a finger to charge God of folly? There was a Christian man, and he was always complaining. No matter what happened, never satisfied. And he was always murmuring. He never could see any blessing or any sunshine in life. Always seemed to be miserable as usual. Always finding fault. Everybody was wrong, and he was right, and the world was upside down, and he was the only one was right side up. And another believer met him one day, and he said, tell me this, friend. Do you think that God governed the world before you came into it? He said, oh, yes. But why do you ask? He said, well, can I ask you another question? Do you think that God will govern it after you leave it? After you leave this world? Yes. But why do you ask? He says, can I ask you one other question? If you think that God governed it before you came into it, this world, and if you think that God can govern it whenever you leave it, do you not think God can govern it while you're in it? You see, friend, a person who carries around a bitter spirit is a discontented person. They'll never see anything right. There'll always be something wrong. Let me tell you this. I, and it may be wrong with others, but never choose or charge God of not knowing what he's doing. Fret not thyself. It's foolish that you and I should mind God's business. God knows what he's doing in this world. If you'd have been over in the Bible class this morning, friend, we were reading in the book of Ezra. And you know, God was judging his people because of their sin and their wandering. And God was doing it because it was for their good, because God loved them, God cared for them. And God says 70 years. God put the exact time on it. 70 years. You'll be in bondage. And you know, friend, let me tell you this. It seemed to be as if God's people were suffering. Yes, they were. They were under the displeasure of God because of their sin. But God used a Babylonian nation as those that would discipline God's people. And it seemed to be as if the Babylonian nation, they were rising. My, they had brought God's children into bondage. They were rising to the top of success. Let me tell you, friend, God was taking them up to bring them down. But listen to me carefully. What was God doing in the life of his children? God was bringing them down so that he could lift them up. God is working today. Don't charge God foolishly. God's working this morning. God's working this very day. And he's working, the Bible says, all things together for good to them that love the Lord. And the Word of God says, listen, don't burn within yourself. Don't grow bitter and disquieted within yourself and angry within yourself and carry a discontented spirit within yourself because what you see, because of the evildoers. And then the Holy Ghost says this. Fret not thyself. Just because you see a man dressed in the best clothes, friend, doesn't mean he's wearing his own. Could be wearing somebody else's. I was listening to the wedding the other day, and it says that the new princess, she actually wears your woman Beckham's clothes. Your woman Beckham has lent some of her clothes to Catherine. Now, I suggest you probably should be able to pay for her own clothes herself after this, or The nation will pay, but nevertheless. Just because you see a boy dressed in refinery, friend, don't always just think he's wearing his own clothes. You just leave it with the Lord. And then it says this, not only fret not thyself, it says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know what that means? Don't feel jealous. Are you jealous of people? Are you jealous what somebody else has? Are you burning inside because you're jealous? And you're envious because somebody else is great or somebody else is rich? The Word of God says this. Here's the command. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Remember this. Look at verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they'll wither as a green herb. Now notice what the Holy Ghost says. For they shall soon be cut down. Notice that word soon does not mean immediately. But it does mean suddenly. It does mean suddenly. The divine sentence shall fall suddenly, shall fall speedily, shall fall irrevocably, shall fall surely. God's scythe is sharpening for the ungodly. And there's someone here this morning and you're not saved, I'll tell you this. Remember, you're under the condemnation of God. He that believeth not is condemned already. The scythe of God's judgment is sharpening. And the glory of the ungodly, listen to the word of God says, they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they'll wither as the green herb. For in the end, oh friend, listen, the harvest of the evil man is not to be envied. Payday. Someday. And you know, death will come and death will strip all that the ungodly man has, and death will just strip it all away. And yet the child of God, then God will never perish. Does that not content you? Brother? Sister? Have you a contented spirit in God's house this morning? Are you not content to know, thank God I'm saved today? Thank God I'm a child of the King. And I mightn't have much and I mightn't be much as far as the world is concerned, but I'm a joint heir with Christ. You see, fretting is a futile thing. Let me tell you, if you're worried and your life is just filled with nothing else, only worry, and you're burning with that fret, let me tell you, fretting is a futile thing. It never does anything constructive. Worry and fretting and burning within and discontentment, it never makes a man better. It never makes a situation better. I want to tell you, the Word of God tells me, by taking thought, can you add one cubit to your stature? Maybe you say, I wish I was taller. You sit down and you worry and you burn within and discontent within. Tell me, friend, is that going to make you taller? You'll still be the same size at the end of it. But I tell you something, does it puts you down. It drives you into despair. And I say to you, listen to the command of God today. It is futile to fret. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to a stature? I'll tell you something else about it. It's not only futile to fret. It's faithlessness to fret. You know, I love the Psalm 23. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Notice all that he does for us. Yeah? And you know what we're saying in that? The Lord is my shepherd. And he does all of this for us. In other words, what we're talking about is the sufficiency of God. God's sufficient. And then we quote the scriptures. "My God shall supply all your need." My, doesn't it sound good whenever we quote these verses? My, we sound so spiritual. And then we read the verse. And it tells me I'm an heir of Christ. I'm a joint heir. I'm an heir of the kingdom. I'm on a joint heir with Jesus Christ, friend. And whilst we proclaim that, we live and we talk and we act not as heirs, but as orphans. As if God has left us an orphan. Do you believe you're an heir of Christ? Do you believe that God has given you all things in Christ? Do you believe whenever the Holy Spirit of God says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord? Then, brother and sister in Jesus Christ, why, when you look around you in the world today and you see, yes, so much sadness and so much tragedy, why is it, it seems to be, that you live your life while saying, "Lord, you're my shepherd, and I shall not want"? Why is it you're so discontented? You'll not want? Because, friend, our lives don't go with what we do. And the world looks on. And the world sees God's children dissatisfied and disquieted and burning up within them. And sees the world jealous of what the world has. I'll tell you this, no matter what that worldling has, friend, it'll pass away just like that. And what you and I have in Christ never passes away. But the crowning day is coming. By and by. The Lord Jesus said this before he left his disciples. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless." John 14 verse 18. And the word for comfortless means, I'll not leave you as an orphan. But he says, I'll come to you. You know what fretfulness does, friend? It robs us of our peace. Oh, you can sing the hymn, "Peace like a river is flooding my soul," friend. And then you go out and you're angry and bitter and discontented with what God's given you in life. And it robs you of peace. And it makes you critical and miserable and mean. I'll tell you what God wants you and me to be. Turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. This is what it says. Colossians chapter 3. It says in verse number 12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you." You say, that's not easy. True. But we've got to do it. That's the way to bless him. And then it says, verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity," put on love, "which is the bond of perfectness." And then it says, verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Boy, that's the opposite of fretfulness. Let the peace of God, brother, sister, in God's name, go from God's house this morning and listen to what the Holy Ghost says. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Oh, may the peace of God rule in my heart today. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Turn back to the book of Philippians, just before Colossians. Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 11, it says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Is that you and me? Is it really? Is that the life that we're living? Is that what the world sees whenever it looks at us? A man contented in the Lord. Happy in Christ. Look at verse 6 of chapter 4. Be careful, be over anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, time's away this morning. You say, preacher, hold on a second. If God has given me a command not to fret, well, what am I to do? How can I handle this? Friend, the answer's in the book. The answer's in the book. And we're going to come next Lord's Day, in verse number 3, this is what it says. How do I handle it? Rather than fretting, it says this, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. This is not something for the hereafter. This is for now, friend. This is instruction for now. This is how we're to live. Now. This book's a practical book. It tells us how we're to live now, here and now. Yes, we're looking for the hereafter. Thank God we're looking forward to a great day in heaven. Never come to an end. But we have to live now. Here. We have to occupy till he comes. And it says, thou shalt dwell in the land. And verily, thou shalt be fed. And the first thing is this. Have confidence in the Lord. Before I leave, friend, is there someone here today and you don't know the Lord? You've never trusted him as your Savior? You're traveling along the road of life, friend, and you don't know when the journey of life will end, and if you die without Jesus, you'll be lost forever, go to hell. Your soul will be damned in the darkest, deepest hell, and down in the Christless beyond, you'll hear the, and you'll remember the sounds of the gospel message that was declared to you, but you rejected the Son of God. Oh, I beg you in God's name, trust in the Lord. Trust him today. Receive him as your Savior. And thank God he'll save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. May we leave thy house today not as those that are filled with worry and anxiety. Help us to cast our burden on the Lord, for he shall sustain us. Yes, we do have burdens. Lord, thou knowest we have burdens. Thou seest the burdens. There's people in my house this morning, and there's burdens perhaps that the preacher can't see or know, or those that are sitting around don't know about. But Lord, thou seest them. Help to take that burden and just bring it to thee. For thou art the great burden bearer. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Heavenly Father, separate us with thy blessing. Teach us from thy word today. Help us to have a teachable spirit, that the peace of God may rule in our heart. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.